Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Celtic Stuff Live.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for Boston sports. Hey, real quick, before we get into it, we have a treat for you today. Mark Spears from ESPN's The Undefeated, and you are absolutely going to love this. I don't even want to waste any time. We're going to get into it. I'm just going to give you a couple of words from our sponsors and a reminder to follow Celtic Stuff Live on Twitter at @CSL_TweetLive, as well as myself at @CSL_Justin, and my co-host on, well, stay tuned for Monday's show, John Duke at @CSL_Duke, and the entire CLNS Radio Network at CLNS. Radio. Facebook page is facebook.com/CLNSfans. Download our app for iOS and Android. Simply search CLNS Radio in your app marketplace. And don't forget the Garden Report with Jared Weiss on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CLNSradio. I'm just going to tell you, it's been a little while and I'll give you a little history, but Mark Spears was a great friend of the show. He came over from covering the beat with the Nuggets to the Boston Globe to cover the Celtics for the big championship year after the Celtics acquired Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. And we really have done a lot of flashback series, and then we did the off-season interview series. So we're tying things back to sort of the roots of Celtics Stuff Live and when it got started, and the partnerships with Celtics Blog and all that. So we're going to kind of do a little bit of that and bring it back. I know we're in the middle of the regular season. We're into the second week, but I can tell you that this is definitely worth your time and worth a listen. And Mark's been such a great friend of the show. You'll hear him in the interview talking about how we helped him, put Red Auerbach's old couch into a good home, and how we, one of our listeners helped him make and co-produce and write a documentary and then actually get it, which won an award, the title Katrina Kopp and the Superdome, something that he was really hoping to push through, and the funding came through. It was really kind of crazy the way that it happened, but he's been a great friend of the show since. Appreciate his time today, and I'm just going to get right into it. But first, I have to tell you about Movement Watches. And while department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks at Movement Watches really took out the middleman. When they were in college, they wanted to have nice watches. Obviously, like myself, couldn't afford a lot of nice things in college. So they decided to cut the middleman out, pass that savings directly on to you. I'm actually wearing my Movement Watch right now, and I absolutely love it. Movement Watches are slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, they're affordable. I think mine was $135 list price, but thanks to CLNS Radio, you can go to MVMTWatches.com/Celticsbeat. They're going to save you 15% off your first order, and they're going to give you free shipping. That's right. So I got the Chrono white and black tan leather watch. Maybe some colors I never thought I would put together, but now all of a sudden I'm like a hipster, and even though I'm over the age of 40. I don't even know how that happened, and maybe I'm not. Maybe I just look like I'm trying too hard, but this watch is awesome. So go to MVMTWatches.com /Celtic Speak. All right, let's get right to it. Joining us now, Mark Spears, senior NBA writer with the ESPN, with ESPN's The Undefeated. Mark, thanks for coming on. I know we talked last January, and I was actually covering for a show here on the CLNS Radio Network, Celtics Beat. It was immediately after that I really got the bug, and I had to thank you because we took a 4-year break. But we've been rolling ever since you and I spoke, as well as with my co-host John Duke, who's not joining me today. But ever since then, it's like, oh, we missed it too much. We've been back at it, and you're a big part of that.
Yeah, no, man. Certainly always forever indebted to this show because it helped me do the lone documentary I've done in my life from one of your listeners, guy I got connected to. And also I was able to sell a, which might have been a mistake, but it was a hand, not sell, but give away a couch that used to be Red Auerbach's couch in his office.
I remember that.
And, yeah, man, it wasn't, hey, I'm going to be truthful, it wasn't the prettiest couch in the world, but it was, it was his couch nonetheless. And I remember when I was moving, I was able to get somebody to pick it up on the show, so that was cool.
I'll tell you what, too, Mark, one of the things that amazes me, because I know, listen, you, since we met and you were on this show many, many years ago when the Celtics were winning titles or won a title with Kevin Garnett, you've gone to a national stage. And really, I know we talked just before we came on the air, but I've seen you do in interviews and literally at a, with a customer lunch yesterday, I saw you up on ESPN. And I mean, obviously you're with the network now, but the point is your career has really taken off. Not that it wasn't on a trajectory to begin with, but I just want to congratulate you because I think you're just doing awesome work.
Oh, man, thanks, man. I'm certainly blessed, and I just to be able to come home, to be able to work on a website like The Undefeated where, you know, I could certainly try to challenge myself on a daily basis. To, you know, I'm writing about basketball, but I'm also writing about life, culture, sports. It's not just, you know, so-and-so signed a 10-day contract or so-and-so got traded. You know, I have to really think in order to come up with stories that make our readers think and hopefully sometimes grow and learn and maybe on occasion try to make them cry in a good way, you know, from some of the stories I get. So it's been a good journey, man, but I always, you know, I think, you know, I had 8 years covering the Nuggets at the Denver Post, but certainly going to Boston was career-changing to cover that championship team. I think it really, like, put me on the map in a lot of ways, made people realize I was alive as a reporter, and was able to parlay that to a national Yahoo job. So, you know, that even though I was in Boston for just 2 years, it felt like I was there for 10. You know, I still have friends there that I'm going to have the rest of my life. And I'm certainly want to be there when they have the 10-year anniversary of the championship. I want to be in town.
We're not far away from that. And yeah, I've since moved away, too.
Boy, time flies.
Well, and but, what was the restaurant that you recommended to me that we went to the one time? I can't remember it for the life of me.
What's that?
There was a restaurant that you recommended to me, and we went there one time. There was a bunch of us, but I'm trying to remember. Do you remember?
What city?
It was in Boston. I'm just trying to remember the name of the
that
was newly opened.
West Side Johnny's.
That's what it was, West Side Johnny's. That's right.
Yeah. Bunch of guy John Karen, man. That's my buddy. Good people. Real good people. Yeah, it's a fun place to go, man. I kind of, at the games, that was my spot. I'd go there, and Johnny would always take care of me, and the staff would take care of me. Always good to get a little beverage before you head home, a late night eat. And so, no, I certainly recommend it now. I actually remember when Obama first went into office, the next day there was a, or during the inauguration, I actually watched it there with, God, what's the guy's name? It was a famous Boston comedian.
I know who it is. Lenny.
I think it was, maybe I'm getting old. For some reason, I feel like Lenny was there. But it was a collected group of people. We got to watch it in the Red Room, which is the presidential room, which was a room I loved there. when I'm in Boston, I like to come by. So, no, Johnny's is still the spot, man. When I'm in Boston, I got to go there. He's good people, and it's like going to eat at a museum.
Well, that's where we'll go on the 10th reunion, then. I'll come up from Pennsylvania. We'll meet up. I'll buy you a drink because, listen, as much as we may have helped you sort of, I don't know, I don't know if this is the right word, but serendipitously, I mean, we put the word out, but especially at that time, like podcasting is something now, but it wasn't all that much then.
You guys were one of the originals.
But here's the thing. What made it so good was people like you being willing to give your time. Like, you gave it credibility. That was one of the things that launched it. Like, sure, we did it. But then the guests that we were able to get, like, I remember some of our early guests, like Scott Souza was another one. Jess Camaretto, I'm sure you remember some of these names, but you lended credibility to the show. And so, you know, you act like you're indebted to me somehow, or our show, but I can only tell you it's really the other way around because it's what allowed me to be able to do, you know, something special with my life at a certain period of time, you know, when I had the ability to go to the games and cover things. You know what I remember? I remember one time I asked Doc Rivers at the end of the pregame interview about Leon Poe, and we were walking away, and you were giving me such a hard time. You're like, Leon Poe? Nobody wants to know about Leon Poe.
Well, don't tell Leon I said that.
Well, you were just busting my chops.
That's my Oakland buddy, so no, everybody cares about Leon. There's probably another player you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it was definitely Leon, but you didn't mean it that way. You were just busting my chops because you were like, dude, nobody asks those kinds of questions. But we had so many conversations on this show with the callers. Like, now we pre-record, but we had live call-ins, as you know. And man, was he a fan favorite. And I know he had the knee injuries, and I know in college when you played ball, you had some knee injuries that you had to deal with, and then obviously being from the same part of the country, there had to be a kinship there.
Oh, no, I mean, it was quickly. He's a great, great guy, and I'm sure people in the Celtics world love having him around. I'm assuming he's around a decent amount. With having that job there, but he's one of those guys where you always wonder what if, like, what if he didn't get hurt? You know, how great would he have been? And I truly believe that he would have been a special player, perhaps even maybe an all-star player if he had never gotten hurt. It's just too bad because he had athleticism, he had size. You know, he was a AAU star with LeBron, that he was the starter team till LeBron showed everybody who he was. But, you know, Leon Poe is certainly a guy that you talking about growing up in tragedy. I mean, he did that. He felt that. And I'm really happy to see the success that he's had. He's a treasure as a person, and I'm glad that, you know, he's had the success that he's had.
You know, your articles do attack, maybe not attack is the wrong word, but they get into the human condition. Like you said before, it's like sometimes, you know, maybe even if I can make them cry in a good way. And that's always been one of your strengths, Mark, you know, first off, you've got a great memory. But secondly, you're able to really get into the bones of personality. But, you know, you talk about somebody like Leon Poe and that background, but I think you're right. And I almost think today's game, you know, if you come around full circle with some of his, you know, he still had that stretch four kind of thing. I mean, I know he wasn't hitting tons of three-pointers, but I feel like his game would have fit well in how it evolved over these last few years.
Yeah, I mean, timing is everything, man. And unfortunately for him, we'll never know. But he, as a person, I truly think he's a better person. And people that got to know him know that. I know he's a great father now, great husband. And I hope he's able to, you know, parlay this job, kind of move up the ladder with the Celtics. Who knows, maybe become a front office guy. You know, I wrote a story about there's really not a lot of blacks in the front office, despite the fact that there's a lot of, you know, blacks playing. And so you know, maybe Leon's one of the guys that kind of changed the trend a little bit. I think he's got, you know, you're talking about a Cal kid, so you can't be no dummy going to Cal.
Yeah, just ask Jaylen Brown, who's a personal favorite. And by the way, the article you wrote leading up to the draft, you know, listen, I'm no pundit, but, you know, I was looking at a few different players and who I was hoping the Celtics would pick. And I read your article on Jaylen Brown, and that sold me. I was like, he's an intellectual and he's a worker.
Jaylen is probably the one of the most interesting guys I've ever been around, especially young guys. You know, when I get a sit-down interview with a player and I get some time with them, and I can tell that they really, really care, I try to put the ball in their court and make them feel comfortable. Take me to your world, you know. So I told his people, I said, hey, take me to a restaurant that Jaylen likes, you know. So typically, you know, Applebee's or, you know, some kind of hamburger joint or, you know. He picked a Brazilian restaurant in Berkeley, right? So I was like, oh, I love this kid already, man. A Brazilian restaurant? This is great, you know. And so we go to this Brazilian restaurant, and, I mean, it was fantastic. And it's, I'm trying to meet. He ordered, like, some special smoothie and, you know, he was ordering some great stuff, man. He was like stuff you wouldn't expect any kid.
Young kid. Right. Yeah, you're thinking Taco Bell, the college lifestyle.
Like, grown man food, like foodie food, you know. So I was pretty impressed. But the one thing I was impressed with was, you know, he's a guy who beats by his own drum. And instead of having an agent, he has a circle of advisors, business people that kind of like, you know, he listens to and makes decisions from, which I think is really, really brilliant. One, it's probably cheaper, and two, to be able to be that young and to have those kind of brains, and three, to have the ability to have the kind of people that actually care, you know.
Well, he gets mentorship.
That they want to help you.
Instead of accidentally falling folly to somebody who's trying to take advantage of his gift.
Yeah. But he's like very interesting. I mean, he took classes really, really seriously, actually stayed on campus and, you know, studied and worked out instead of going to, say, some kind of training camp in Santa Barbara or L.A. or, you know, New York, like a lot of these guys did. He stayed on campus and worked out. And I think when he did his interviews, people were like, whoa, I'm sure Danny Ainge was very impressed with how bright he is and how sharp he is. And his athleticism is off the charts. He's got an improving jumper. And he's a hard worker. I mean, he was a guy that was doing double days in Oakland. He wants to become better. He wants to be great. He wants to ask questions. I think he's going to be, you know, a very, very talented player for a while, and it was very smart and brilliant for the Celtics to get him, and I think he has a chance to challenge to be the top player in the draft.
Well, it's funny. I have so many things I want to get to in this interview, and we could wax poetic about Jaylen Brown, especially after the performance on Thursday night against LeBron and the Cavs, I thought was fantastic. But I want to talk a little bit more about you and something you mentioned before about, listen, there's a lot of black players in the NBA, but there aren't a lot in the front offices. And I also happen to know, and the article I read, I have no idea how dated it is. It's probably dated a little bit because in it, it was a spotlight and you said, you know, you couldn't live without your BlackBerry. And I had to think you've moved on from the BlackBerry by now, but who knows?
No, it's, you know what? The BlackBerry failed me at an NBA draft. And after it out of all the days, it like stopped working during the draft, man. And it like when I'm getting tips on who's getting picked, it like shut down for like a half an hour. So I had to bury it.
You did. Yeah, you did. You did put it to rest, but only recently.
No, this is about 2 years ago, two or three years ago.
So do you have an iPhone, or do you have... So this
no,
article
I'm,
is
yeah,
old that
yeah,
I
no,
read.
No, I have an iPhone, man.
So...
But it was certainly... I just say it was certainly disappointing during the draft to have that happen.
I'm sure that's a gross understatement. The article I read, it was talking about that you were still the VP of print with the Sports Task Force for the National Association
of
Black Journalists.
Oh, I'm actually been chair.
See, that's what I thought.
You're reading an old article because I've been chair for about 6 years, yeah.
I thought I read that. So this is, I was going to say BlackBerry. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's dated. But can you talk about that a little bit? Because I don't think we've ever talked about it. And if you're telling me it was 6 years ago when we were still in touch and doing interviews, you'd already kind of moved up the chain. But, talk about your work there, and did it influence your move to the Undefeated at all? Was that kind of, like you said, getting more into life and not just basketball? Seems like you've got a little bit more open rein with ESPN and the Undefeated on that.
I'm chair of the National Association of Black Journalists Sports Task Force, which is basically the sports group that governs all the black sports writers in the country that are members. And you have an influence as far as trying to help black journalists get jobs in TV, print, radio, mentoring, just growing as a journalist, being a kind of like a fraternity/sorority. Helping one another, and it's a really, really strong group. I've been really proud of a lot of places almost use this as a farm club, like where you need to find some journalists, black journalists with talent for a job, we'll find you one, And so I've been very excited about my involvement. And but, writing about black issues has been something that I've always been comfortable with, with stuff that's happened in my family since I was a child. So I think it's very important to me to write for a site where they not only are comfortable with it, but, encourage it. It's been pretty exciting.
Well, I'll tell you, you retweeted some articles, and I don't think you wrote them, but I'm only about an hour from Baltimore. So when everything was going on with Freddie Gray, I remember there was an article, and it interviewed three black policemen. One was retired and two were still active. And I just thought it gave such a comprehensive view of the issue in a way that could be presented from, and I don't even want to say two sides. Like, I don't like saying I don't like squaring off in America, and I don't want to go too far down the political road with the upcoming election, but I don't like the whole squaring off. I don't feel like it's that life is sort of like a talk show where you have two guys that just have to have two opposing views. But what I loved about those articles is it really existed in the difficulty of the issue, not in the simplicity of it, which I think sometimes perseverates it. And, I pay attention to a lot of that, but one of the biggest reasons I did was because you're paying attention to it.
And that's why it's important, because perhaps like somebody like myself, or through the Undefeated especially, I think we reach people and help them grow and get to know the world better by our work. So perhaps there's a story that, like you, and to me, it's not all about black folks all the time. I actually wrote a story last week about what it's like to be a white NBA player, and how there's only 42 in the league right now. What exactly is that like? Talk to six white American players in the league, and they gave their view, and I think that's one of the stories I've been most happy with and proud with this year. And story I tweeted yesterday was about the history of Asian Americans coming to the United States. So I don't know. I guess I just got a free thinking mind that's just not normal, or not just black, or not just some people, it's not anti-white, it's American, it's universal, it's you know, I want to see the world, man. And if my open-mindedness can hopefully make somebody else more open-minded or see things differently, then that's a great thing, man. That's a great thing. I was blessed to grow up in a very diverse part of San Jose, California, where, you know, my street had black people, white people, Portuguese, Korean, Filipino, you know, half black, half Mexican, all on one street. Those are, and there's like, there's a girl in Fresno I grew up with. She's half white, half Mexican. If I see her, she will tell somebody that's my brother, talking about me, you know. I have a, you know, Mexican family that grew up next door that, to them, I'm their brother. You know, we're family, you know. So we're not blood family, but we're family. So I realize that most of America didn't have that luxury to, you know, grow up like that or grow up into a really proud black, you know, family where, while I would learn all about all these different heritages and different races and stuff like that, I certainly knew a lot about, you know, the struggle of the American Negro and to where it is today. So, I mean, so perhaps that's why this job is great for me, because things that I've been blessed to learn and different cultures to learn, and most America doesn't have that. So luckily with this job, I could kind of share those kind of things.
All right, more from Mark Spears from The Undefeated in just a couple of minutes. Real quick, a break, a word from our sponsor, Audible.com. We'll be right back. All right, we're back with Mark Spears, and you know, Mark, I really appreciate, like I said before, I appreciate sort of your approach and your, I want to say, worldly understanding. I don't know what a better way to say it. I always wonder, you know, if I sound cliched when I throw something out there, you know, but really it is a worldly understanding. But you also have this very, I don't know how to say it, but maybe it's like a fatherly figure, or, you know, just this, dude, you're like a big teddy bear, and you bring people into the fold, and you talked about how you did that with Jaylen Brown, but we did this whole off-season interview series, so I have to mention another name I know you're familiar with, especially since you're back in the Bay Area now and you're covering the Warriors, but Danny LaRue was a guest on our off-season interview series, and he brought your name up almost instantaneously when I asked him what it was like to go into the locker room with no journalistic experience and all of a sudden try to fuddle your way through it. I remember what it was like for me, and he immediately told me how you made him feel welcome and what a great friend you were during that for him.
Yeah, no, he disappeared for a minute doing some political thing. And now he's back, so it's good to see him, man. He's very, very smart. I actually like to pick his brain one day outside of basketball, not talk about any basketball, talk about some world stuff. And I've used politics and stuff like that. He probably needs to get outside, get away from basketball anyway. Do some things that are deeper worldwide.
But this is fun, right? And I mean, sometimes
he's certainly a great statistical mind.
Well, and that was, I think that was a big thing for him, as he said, you know, the two of you had sort of a different perspective, you know, in general, but that mostly you had a lot of fun together, and you kind of showed him the ropes a little bit. And see, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, you're a kind soul, you know, and I think you got genuine, you know, a genuine concern, and that's really cool. And I think the Bay Area kind of matches your personality, doesn't it? I mean, isn't it pretty easygoing? Everything's, you know, sort of a moderate climate. You know, I mean, if you just kind of think about it, you're always getting sunshine. It's good for your mood.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some rain, but can you think of a better place to live?
No, I love it, man. I mean, see, I'm not a, I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I'm not really a hot weather guy, like, all the time. So to have the Bay Area is basically, or where I live in Oakland, it's like 65 to 75 year-round. So it's, like, never too hot, never too cold. It's just right. Like, the typical clothing here is sweatpants and a long sleeve t-shirt, a hoodie, and which is actually I'm on my way to go interview somebody right now. So that's what I got on. So the days of shoveling snow are over. The days of 100 degree weather, like if that happens here, it's rare, maybe once a year.
Dude, so I'm all about the hoodie. As soon as I can get out of my suit for my day job, I am right into it. T-shirt, hoodie, jeans, and just, I mean, that weather sounds perfect because it's right up my alley. And, you know, you really couldn't be in a better place considering, you know, the big storyline for the NBA now with Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors. But it just seems like it's getting so much coverage. It's over-covered, or even there's this manufacturing of drama. But I have to ask you, because you're there, like, what question doesn't get asked about this, I guess, what everybody wants to say, the super team, or what's maybe sort of like an underrated concern or an underrated positive for the team that you think just isn't getting enough run in the media today?
I'm sorry, repeat the question. It kind of went in and out.
No, for the Golden State Warriors, what sort of topic is not being really thought about or isn't getting sort of the kind of attention? Maybe it's an underrated concern or an underrated positive for them, because it seems like, you know, there's so much coverage. It's almost like all the bases have been written about and talked about.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, they're the bad guys now. But do you feel like there's something that nobody is really talking about enough with this team?
But how blessed we are to watch them. Like, I grew up watching, and I know Celtics fans hate these guys, but, you know, the Showtime Lakers, you know. Or even your Celtics team in the 80s. I mean, you had superstars all playing together. You had Bird and Dennis and Mikhail and Parrish, you know. You had some great, great players. And so it's fun to watch a super team to me, but I don't know that the NBA scout told me this team offensively could be better than the Showtime Lakers. They're just so explosive. Typically, when you're around a team, you're around a whole season, you're like, oh, they play Orlando today. I'm not really excited about seeing that game. Oh, Sacramento's in town, you know. But their games, the way they play, is so entertaining. I mean, you feel like you're watching the Globetrotters. You feel like you're watching, like, good N1 and mixtape basketball tour, not the bad stuff that they don't show on TV when they all the misses. But it's just amazing to me how many points they can put up in a flurry. And so they've gotten off to a good start. I wouldn't say a great start, but once Klay Thompson gets going, I mean, they're going to be really hell to deal with. And I'm excited to see, you know, what this team brings. But that when I was covering that Celtics team with you know, the big three and Rondo, it was exciting to go to every game because you just never knew what you were going to see that night, no matter who they played. And that's the same thing I feel about this Warriors team. Like, when you remember how that feeling it was when the Celtics had the big three, when they lost, it was like, oh my God, they lost.
Yeah, how did that even happen?
Yeah. And that's the same feeling that you have in Oakland now. Like, they can't lose. They got to win every game, you know? And so it's fun, man. It's healthy fun. And so, like, all this, I'm part of the media, but I think all this villain stuff is kind of media driven. Oh, they say that you're a villain. Well, who's they? You know, like, who is saying this? Like,
the fans of every other team in the league.
Yeah. But I think people, it's funny, you say that, people say that until they actually watch them play, and then they're like, oh, wow, you're still coming to see the show, even though they won't admit it. They want to see the show. They want to see fun, greatness, see if their team's good enough to beat them, you know. They want to see that.
It's a fantastic measuring stick. Like, I've already got November 18th on the calendar because of how well the Celtics matched up against them last year. Almost gave them their first loss. This is without Durant, obviously, but almost gave them the first loss at the beginning of the season in Boston, and then did beat them on the road towards the wrapping up of the regular season out in Golden State. So here we are. It's flip-flopped. You know, a little bit. No, it's not flip-flopped. It'll be home again and then away at the end of the season, but it is, it's an awesome measuring stick. Let's just hope the Celtics are healthy for that matchup.
Yeah, yeah. Well, both teams for that matter. You know, and I'm sure Jalen will be up for it. You know, we used to see Jalen at Warriors games last year. He, you know, Steve Kerr's son was his teammate. And so, you know, he would go there with Steve Kerr's son and his wife. And I was wondering, like, why is Jalen at all these games? I know he ain't supposed to get no tickets, but, yeah, his teammate was bringing them. So that's you know, next time you talk to Jalen, ask him about being around the Kerr family. There's probably a good story there. Maybe I'll pass that on to Sherrod and Gary. I think that is a good story when they play him. I'm sure he had dinners at their house and hung out with them and got to spend some cool time with them.
Hey, you wrote an article recently about Ray Allen, and, you know, obviously he retired on Tuesday, and now there's the big blow up Hall of Fame debate, and you know, it is sort of fueled by some of the.
Is it a debate?
Not the Hall of Fame. Sorry, whether or not his number should be retired. As a Boston Celtic, whether they should put 20 up.
You know what, I don't see how his doesn't and Kevin Garnett does. You know what I mean? I think they both should go. They both played a big role in the championship that was, what, hadn't been there in, what, 22 years or something like that?
I knew you were going to go there, because if are they totally contingent upon each other? How is the fact that Ray went to Miami a non-factor,
so,
or just not a big enough one?
Well, I think it hurts right now, and you wonder what could have been. But they were getting older, man. I don't know that they would have won another championship if Ray would have stayed. I know they were close, but that Miami team was better. Just being honest, they were better.
No, I think they were obviously better.
Yeah, so, but I think you got to look at it for what he did and what it was worth and what he meant at the time. And they don't win that championship without Ray Allen, period.
No, they couldn't have just Garnett
Paul,
and won it.
Paul isn't in the conversation. Paul is, you know, that's easy. You know, that he was there a long time. Paul's a special class. But I don't think you could put KG in and not put Ray in.
All right, so
it doesn't make any sense to me. To me, I could see if it was a bitter franchise. Like, I don't know that. I don't know that it'll probably take some time, but I don't know that Miami's gonna be rushing to put LeBron James' retired jersey up. You know what I mean? Next to Michael Jordan's in Miami, but. I just think that as time passes, the appreciation for what Ray Allen did there will grow. And the Celtics, to me, if they are the classiest most classy organization in sports, so I think they would let cooler heads prevail and put Ray there. Like, I just don't. If you don't put Ray there, then you don't put KG there. Because to me, I think those two are connected. You know what I mean? They came there together. They won a championship in their first year. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals for three times. Two NBA Finals. They're interconnected, you know. So, I don't see them not doing it for KG. So I think Ray is deserving if they feel KG is deserving.
What's interesting too is Danny Ainge had some comments. He's like, I'm not even going to touch that one. And, you know, it's almost like the Vice President Joe Biden talking. They bring up Anthony Weiner and he's like, I probably should even comment on that. Danny kind of does the same thing with Ray. He's like, you know what? It's not my decision. I'm not really going to talk about it. And it's ownership's decision, and it's going to be in the future.
The fact that they even put out a statement about his retirement 2 years after he really retired shows you, one, the class of the Celtics, and two, you know, maybe they're starting to begin the process of you know what I mean?
I do.
Retiring him.
They have to heal, right? There's definitely some, I don't want to say it's bad blood, and to your point about making the Golden State Warriors the villains, you know, maybe the media overplays some of these stories. But listen, the way it did go, it's in your article. Paul and KG were both reaching out to Ray and really didn't get any correspondence. And the next thing they know, he signed with the Heat.
Yeah.
And so they're like, hey, come on. Yeah. I mean, out of respect to us and what we've accomplished together, right?
That has nothing to do with what he did.
Right. Not his performance on the floor.
I mean, yeah, he left, and yeah, it was painful, and I understand, but he won a championship. He played in two finals. Was his departure painful? Yes, it was painful. And I don't think you ever forget, you know. But that being said, they don't win a title without Ray Allen. And KG,
they don't get KG without Ray Allen.
What's that?
They don't get KG without Ray Allen.
If they didn't trade for Ray Allen,
KG never would have agreed to the trade.
Yeah. I mean, no basketball end is wonderful. I mean, the way, you know, KG and Paul got traded. I mean, you know, yeah. So they're not bitter towards the Celtics for moving them. It actually transfixed the franchise for the future. But I don't know, man. I just think that I actually think it would be a mistake not to have Ray in it.
Yeah, I'm so divided on it. But there's elements to what you're saying. You know, if you really splice it out, how do you take KG out of the equation? I mean, how do you take Ray out of the equation when KG's in it? I mean, the contributions are somewhat different. But at the end of the day, they were both wearing Celtics green when Banner 17 went up into the rafters. And it's not like Ray left the very next year. So I could see both sides, but I think there's a point where I think you're going that makes sense is after a little bit of time, cooler heads will prevail, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, even if there's not that much drama there, that's really what it is.
I expect in time that Carmelo Anthony will be retired with the Denver Nuggets. You know, I expect in time. That
what about Amir Johnson with the Suns, though?
Who?
Oh, I said Amir Johnson. I'm sorry. No,
yeah,
Amir.
He should have retired after he hit the 4-3.
I know, right? He should have just dropped the mic, walked off the court, and said, that's it.
Yeah. Exactly. But no, I just, I think it would be a mistake not to, and I know how Precious retired. I mean, Rondo deserves to have his jersey retired there, to me, too, you know. But maybe I'm a sap.
Well, and you also were really connected to that team. I mean, you were there for that. You knew those guys, right? So
yeah.
I meant Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah,
no. I said Amir
Johnson, by the way,
because he retired as a Nick, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, KG has his new show, and I'd like to hear him talk about Ray, you know.
That was cold.
I'm assuming they taped it, and the first one with Rasheed, but I'd really like to hear what he says about Ray Allen. I got to talk to Paul about it, and the respect that Paul had for Ray, when you just talk about basketball, I mean, he's still certainly is disappointed about the goodbye or the lack thereof, the lack of knowledge that Paul was leaving. Very disappointed. Ray was leaving. Paul was very still disappointed by that. But when you ask about basketball, he still believes that Ray is the greatest shooter that the game has ever seen. And that Ray was, you know, and he had no question about how important Ray was to the championship. So he didn't question at all the fact that Ray was special to what they did.
No, Ray was a machine, and he wasn't going to put any of that unleaded 87 into his system either. You know, he was all premium fuel. And it's nuts because you hear players talk about it. Even Dwayne Wade said that when he went to the Heat, that he helped Dwayne and LeBron be better professionals, like even down to the diet and him not being a drinker and all of that. And he even admitted he's almost obsessive compulsive, but you have to respect his professionalism.
Well, you know, Paul said that his diet got better because of Ray. You know, so now I actually think it would be vindictive not to put Ray in the retired jersey if you retire KG's too.
All right, you might be changing my mind. The fan in me wants to reject that still, you know, but you might be changing my mind, and I don't know. I know you got to head off to your interview, Mark, but is there anything else you think that we should wrap with before we close? I just, you know, I know you won. I know Katrina Kopp in the Superdome did win an award, a small film festival award, you know, right down there in Louisiana. But, you know, anything
well,
else you want to kind
of say before I go is, you know, it's not out yet, but something I'm excited about, former Celtic, you know, Stefan Marbury, I spent some time with him in Beijing recently. So it's supposed to be a SportsCenter feature that's coming out soon. And, you know, he won three championships in Beijing. He's got a museum there. He has had a play. He's got a movie coming out. He has a statue, with his, a statue outside the arena, the Beijing Ducks. And so the last place he played was in Boston, which he certainly still has love for. He really enjoyed his short time there. But keep an eye on that. I think Celtics fans will find that interesting whenever it drops.
That whole story is interesting. Like, you can make fun of the fact that they're making a play, but all of the unique opportunities he's had out there really should also become a movie, movie. It would be very interesting. Yeah.
It was a brilliant redemption. I mean, he went to a market before anybody else did and made the best of it and got paid and became, I was messing with him. I'm like, shoot, there ain't many, many brothers that got statues in the United States and you got one in China. He died laughing at that. But look out for that one. I can't wait till people get a chance to see it.
Mark, I'm always appreciative of your time. I know you told me you had 20 and you gave me 40. I think that's becoming a pattern. But listen, we'll have you on again soon, and I do appreciate you fitting me in, and I love the work you're doing at the Undefeated.
Oh, thanks, brother. Take care now.
All right, Mark Spears, everybody, from ESPN's The Undefeated. I'm not going to lie. I just love that man. I think he does amazing work, and he has really gotten all over the place, but I love that his new outlet is giving him an opportunity to kind of, I don't know, stretch out a little bit and be able to cover diverse topics. And it's what keeps your writing interesting. A couple of things there. I mean, we're obviously going to have to talk real quick before we close out the show about KG, Ray, and having their numbers retired. You know, I did misspeak there. 100% Ray Allen's going into the Hall of Fame for certain. But a couple of other things that I thought was interesting. Jaylen Brown's relationship with the Kerr family. I wish I was going to be in Boston for that game. I would love to get around Jaylen and be able to ask him those questions. And certainly there's enough people that listen to this show that if Mark hasn't already tipped off everybody in the Boston media, it's certainly going there, or it's going to go that way. So expect to read some articles here in about a week and a half regarding Jaylen Brown and his time watching the Warriors last year and his relationship with the Kerr family. I think the other thing, you know, is just, dude, this guy really is just a kind-hearted, big old teddy bear, and he does awesome work, but he's got such an amazing memory. It's like an elephant. I mean, the fact that he remembers all the things that came together as a result of his maybe handful, no more tops, tops 10 interviews on Celtic Stuff Live over the years, because we sort of stopped around 2011, 2012. We probably had him on four times a year, and that didn't start until the middle of 2008, maybe towards the end. We did re-release the interview with Earl Lloyd, maybe 3 weeks ago, and Mark was also integral in lining that interview up. I wish I'd had a chance to thank him for that as well, because that was just, an awesome interview and really a highlight of my career with Celtic Stuff Live. But when you go back and you talk about KG and Ray, no one was more bitter than me about the way that Ray unceremoniously left Boston and went to the enemy Miami Heat. And I think a lot of that has to do with, had it not even been LeBron, I think the LeBron, you know, the rivalry between Celtics fans and Cleveland fans, and then the way that LeBron left Cleveland and went to Miami, it almost queued it up where that angst towards LeBron then got positioned right onto Ray because he left. And even in Mark's article, and like we talked about to close out the interview, you look at Paul Pierce's comments, and maybe he's a little less sour than Kevin Garnett. The fact that we haven't heard from Kevin certainly makes you think that he's more sour than Paul, where Paul's willing to talk about it and say, I wasn't really in love with the way it went down. But at the same time, you know, Ray's got to make his own decision. You can hear Paul softening. So how do you tease out the Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen conversation? It's easy to lump them together. They're on the championship team, just like Mark said. Ray Allen, Paul, KG, and Rondo all deserve to have their numbers retired. They were part of that championship in 2008, hoisting up banner number 17. But if you do start to tease it out a little bit, and I think there's a case to be made for Rondo not having his number retired either. I mean, at some point, you get so many people that contributed or were starters on a championship team. When the team has, I mean, let's think about it. Let's say they get banner 18, then 19, then 20. You're going to run out of numbers. And certainly that has to be, it has to be a concern. You have to think about not going to just say, all right, if you were a starter and you were a great player, maybe the career has to have more built around it. So you look at Paul. Obviously he's a no-brainer. I think Rondo is somewhat questionable whether or not his number's retired. Not somewhat. I think it's pretty questionable. Ray Allen is still pretty questionable for me. I don't think KG is questionable, and here's why. And maybe it's just because KG was so beloved and so vocal, but KG changed the culture. Now we hear little bits and pieces that maybe we weren't so aware of at the time, where Ray Allen was changing the culture like he did in Miami, where he's changing the eating patterns of the players around them. Maybe that helps them stay healthier. Maybe it helps them stay focused, dialed in. Maybe they shoot a couple of percentage point ticks up a little bit from the field goal range. Who knows? Who knows what the impact is? But Kevin Garnett's attitude, enthusiasm, passion, the way that he embraced Boston. And it's funny because Ray Allen obviously played at UConn and has major New England ties. So when he was moved from, and I know this is funny, there's people who are listening that maybe don't even remember the Seattle Supersonics, but when he was traded from the West Coast back into his New England roots, you almost thought maybe he would have this more notable and written about and maybe a charismatic embracement of the New England region. But we didn't necessarily see a lot about that, but he also didn't have the flamboyant and energetic personality of Kevin Garnett. So maybe there's some of us that aren't giving Ray his due just because he's not running around screaming, hey, retire my number, retire my number. And I'm not saying Kevin Garnett is, but it's pretty hard to miss Kevin Garnett. And by the way, he did an awesome job on TNT the other night prior to the Celtics game and during with Rasheed Wallace. That was a ton of fun. So how do you tease him out? How do you not put them together? And here's the other thing. One of the biggest recruiting tools that the Celtics have had in their pocket recently is the fact that when players come back to Boston who have played here or been a major part of the team, even if they weren't part of the championship, they get this resounding ovation. Everybody loves them. And Ray gets booze. Ray gets Boo City It's rough on Ray when he came back. Well, when I say it's rough, it was rough on Ray when he came back to the Garden. But I think the wound was still fresh. There was easy to pour salt in it. And, you know, were he Rondo's age, it had Rondo done that, maybe by the time, you know, we're another 3-4 years down the road, people don't look at Rondo the same way because he kept playing in another uniform. But it's really how Ray put the cap on his experience and time with the Celtics, where he obviously was a major, major factor in them winning the championship. So I don't know. Maybe you guys tell us, tweet us at CSL underscore Justin or at CSL underscore Duke and tell us what you think. But that ovation is a big part of how the Celtics recruit free agents. And so maybe they do need to take a little bit of a softer stance on Ray Allen, because if the front office makes a decision, they'll say, look, it's a business decision. Well, Ray made a business decision. And sometimes people, relationships end and they don't end on a good note. So I can see the counterpoint there. I still don't think I'm retiring Ray Allen's number, but to Mark's point, with a little bit of time, maybe I'm softening the more I think about it. I don't know. We'll see. But listen, that's going to do it for this week, or not even this week. That's going to do it for the interview, second installment this week. Just want to thank everybody and let you know that the broadcast will be available on demand on the CLNS Radio mobile app as well as clnsradio.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at CSL underscore Justin and at CSL underscore Duke. A big thank you for tuning in, and a reminder that you can support the show by subscribing to Celtic Stuff Live on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a rating and a review, please, because we just love getting your feedback. I don't even care if it's not a good rating or a good review. If you've got feedback, positive or negative, we want it. We want to keep doing a better job. We want to give you what you're looking for when you listen to this show. And a reminder that today's show was brought to you by Audible.com and Movement Watches. They've got a great deal for all of you listeners, but most importantly, you would be supporting Celtic Stuff Live and the entire CLNS Radio Network. A thanks to the loyal audience who makes it all worthwhile, and for staff writer Eddie Santiago, program director Larry H. Russell, the founder of CLNS Radio, Nick Gelso, and my co-host John Duke, I'm Justin Poulin. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Celtic Stuff Live.
Celtic Stuff Live.